Bibles to the book of Proverbs. I was going to preach in Colossians in chapter 1 and go moving on through Colossians. Next Sunday is Easter, and we've been having breakfast at some time of these, but next Sunday I think we're just going to have a regular Easter, or whatever you call it, Resurrection Sunday.
Yeah.
Okay?
Yeah.
And by the way, let me say something, three things about the message this morning, that over time, okay, and in cultures, the resurrection of Christ and the Easter holiday has kind of gotten welded. And it doesn't, if you say Easter, it doesn't offend me. I know what you mean.
Right.
I'm not going to get, oh, you're not holy or something like that, you know. Are you wicked? I don't want that.
Amen.
And if you want to chase rabbits and hide eggs and have fun, I don't care.
Right.
I don't care. I'm serious with you. Just remember that to tell your kids what it's really about.
Amen.
You know, and I don't care about all that, because over time things do, there are welding of cultures together. And really, when I was growing up, to be honest with you, my thought about Easter was Christ's death, burial, resurrection. That was my concept of Easter. It was. You can like that or lump it, but that was my concept of Easter. Now, over time, you learn things going down the road. So don't get all bent out of shape about that. Don't be offensive toward other people if they, you know, maybe don't practice what you do, or you do things that, you know, just take it easy and just keep everything in mind. Second thing I want to say about this morning's message and hope is this. One thing I left out, I actually left several things out, but just trying to get us out of here, you know, get done at the service. But one of the beautiful, most beautiful things in that whole story is that hope, as Jesus Christ is our hope, watch this, he went ahead of his brethren to prepare
Amen.
A place for them.
Amen.
That's right.
And when they got down there, gave him the land of Goshen. You know what Pharaoh said? It's the best land we got. And Joseph had prepared, and Jesus, what did he say? I go away to prepare a place for you.
Amen.
And I just want you to know something. This morning, we could go on this thing of hope, because I'm so thankful that, you know, somebody told me one time, I'd been preaching on something here, and a guy came up to me after church and said, though we know where it says mansions, it don't mean really mansions. He told me that right here in his church. I said, well, if it wasn't so, I'd have told you so.
Amen.
Yeah. He stood right there and said, if it were not so, I would have told you so. So I'm looking for a mansion.
Amen.
A mansion. B.R. Lincoln said, I lived in a little cabin on the down in the holler. He said, I wanted my mansion up on. B.R. Lincoln said, I'm going to catch fish that long out of the river of life, and they won't even need to be scaled or clean. I can just cook them right up. Amen.
Amen.
So we have a great hope in our Lord Jesus Christ. But I thought that's so neat how Joseph of Israel Christ went ahead, and hope is always ahead of us, preparing the way for us.
Yeah.
Having said that, I'm going to do something tonight, and if I'm off base, Lord forgive me, but I don't think I am. Proverbs 31, having said that, while you're getting there, let me finish up saying this. Danny's going to be preaching next Sunday morning. Please pray for him.
Yes.
Or Easter Sunday. Brother Jeremy will be preaching Sunday night, Easter Sunday night. Please pray for them, and let's just come and let's worship the Lord and glory in his resurrection. Amen.
Amen.
And boy, I tell you what, if he hadn't ascended, we'd be in trouble. Well, I'm going to tell you what, he did it all. I'm glad he ascended back, seated at the right hand of the Father, never lives to make intercession for us. In Proverbs chapter 31, it's a good idea if you can, and would put it in your Bible reading schedule to read the Proverbs of the month. Like today is what, the 25th, isn't it? 24th? Well, you'd read the 24th chapter of Proverbs. It's a good way you can, and if you miss two or three days, just always catch up and just what day of the month is it? Go to Proverbs. And do that. It's a good idea. I always try to read at least two chapters of Psalms a day. And sometimes I'll read 10. If I'm having a rough day and my hope level gets a little low, I'll read about 10 chapters of Psalms. You can do it in 30 minutes easy, or maybe even 20 minutes, and read. And then I put the Bible on a lot when I'm going to sleep. In fact, I'm going to get more detailed on that. I've been listening to some preaching going to sleep. I'm just going to go back to listening to the Bible being read. And there's a lot of power to that. It's an awful good way to get some good sleep too. Anyway, so pray for them next week. Now, it has been chilly and cold, and I've been fighting a cold, and I don't like that wind. I hate to say, I don't want to be gripey or murmuring, but that wind, it's just, And I've been wanting to go outside so bad to the tabernacle and have services out there. Now, here's what we're going to do. We're going to go ahead next Sunday and have service in here. But if it warms up, the next Sunday night, we're going out there and we're going to have a big old campfire. And you bring all the food you can round up. And we're going to have a big campfire. And we're going to just sing and visit. And visit and eat and sing and visit.
Amen.
You know? And we're just going to enjoy ourselves in the Lord. And that'll be the Sunday night after Easter if the weather's fitting. But I don't want to be out there just going, having a good time, aren't you? No, I don't want to do that, amen. And so anyway, and another thing, how many members Brother Phipps? Anybody remember Brother Phipps? He's coming to the camp meeting. And he's a little short guy, white-headed guy, and he preaches a lot about history of America and the Christian history of America. Anyway, he called up and I invited him. He is so excited. He said, yeah, I'll come. He said, boy, he was wound up. So he's a little fireball. He'd be a lot of fun, and we're glad he's coming. Proverbs chapter 31, we're going to get out right at it, verse number 10. Everybody there say amen and glory, hallelujah.
Amen.
Yes, sir, amen. Say praise the Lord, amen. Boy, I'm manipulating you now, ain't I? I'm trying to get you. Listen, learn to say praise the Lord.
Amen.
Praise his blessed name. Amen. Make the devil mad.
Yes.
Boy, the devil don't like that. Well, verse number 10. Now, today is not Mother's Day, is it? And a lot of times I preach pretty rough. How many of you women think, boy, Red, you're kind of rough on women? I'm not Red. My mama was a woman. I loved her. I still love her. My wife's a woman. Love her. My daughters are ladies. I love them. I'm not got a thing world against women. I wouldn't be here without one. Amen. And boy, they can cook. Amen. They can sew. And I tell you what, you can snuggle up to them at night. Amen. Come on now. Amen. That's right. Ain't nothing I like better on a cold winter night. Just snuggle up to Karen. You say, you shouldn't talk like that. Well, that's all right. You just help yourself. I'm going to admit it. Amen. And so anyway, I don't know why. I mean, out of the blue. It's like the Holy Spirit. I mean, I was going to Colossians. I had my message all lined up. And out of the blue, God says, well, do something. And I was scatterbrained. Lord, what do you want me to do? So you're going to see here. Verse number 10. Who can find a virtuous woman? For her price is far above rubies.
Amen.
I'm going to preach a message tonight. I'm just going to read it. And then I'll say a little bit. I'm going to be done about 10, 15 minutes, but church ain't going to be over because we're going to do something. But I want to preach to you tonight about the wonderful wife that God gave me.
Praise God.
I found, by God's grace, a virtuous woman.
Praise God.
And her price is far above rubies.
Amen.
I'm not going to wait. Now, I don't know who will go first, me or Karen, if the Lord Jesus tarries. I'd like to go out together, honey. That'd be good, wouldn't it? It'd be nice for me and her just go out together. But if she happens to go first, I'm not going to wait to give her honor. And there's just something hit me hard tonight. You need to honor your wife.
Amen.
And so, fellas, I would take this if I was you, and I'd take it and honor your wife with it tonight, too. And I'd reach over and take her hand and say, honey, he's talking about you. He thinks he's talking about Karen, but he's talking about you. All righty. I'm going to tell you something. Christianity is the most uplifting, most honoring thing to women that's ever been on the face of this globe. Who can find a virtuous woman for her price is far above rubies? Honey, I wouldn't trade you for all the land in Missouri. I wouldn't trade you for all the gold. Precious stones in this world. She's worth more than all of them. Verse number 11, the heart of her husband does safely trust in her. I've been gone and gone and gone. And not one time in my life I've ever worried about her messing with another man. That's the flat out truth. It never dawned on me that maybe she's, you know, maybe she has thought about it. I don't know, but I couldn't tell it if she did. My heart trusts in her. So that he shall have no need to spoil. That verse is so powerful. How many spoil there is a word that's used to reach in and take valuables away. When they used to say they spoiled the enemy, they conquered him in war, and then they spoiled the enemy, they would reach in and take the valuable things out of that country. If you're in a situation, and a lot of times it is, a wife is not virtuous and she's got agenda, and a lot of times maybe married somebody and for what they could get out of them. Did you realize that when you go to divorce court, that's what happens?
Spoiled.
Anyway, I don't want to go there. Verse number 12, she will do him good and not evil all the days of her life. I can't even think and bring across my mind tonight a day that she didn't do me good. I'm honest with you. I'm going to tell the church something tonight. Now, and Karen don't like this, and I promise, and she knew nothing about this. But you've got one pastor's wife. You really do. I've been around the block. I've seen pastor wives ruin churches. I've seen them create undercurrents. I've seen them act like they're the Queen of Sheba. You know, and think all the other women in church are under her somehow or another, whatever garbage goes. That's the awfulest bunch of garbage you ever seen in your life can happen right there. She's done me good. Man's wife can make you or break you. Verse number 13 is one of the reasons I wanted to marry her. She seeketh wool and flax and worketh willingly with her hands. I met her in the fall of 1976, and at Christmas she gave me for a Christmas present a flannel shirt, first one to ever fit me. She had made it by hand, and right back here she put a little tag on it, you know, from Karen. The most beautiful shirt I ever saw in my life. She could sew, she could make anything, make coats, make anything you imagine. I never will forget when she, before we first got married, she made Christmas decorations. She sewed them. They were beautiful. I'm sure we still got them somewhere. It says she's like the merchant ship. She bringeth food from afar. And she's always been willing to go out, and she loves to go outside. Boy, I tell you what, yesterday she had me out there, and she's I'd stay away from that woman. Amen. I'm just like the old dog. If I see her on that side of the yard, I run around to that side. Because she'd be down there on her hands and knees with a spade, you know, and she's a doing dirt, and she's a planting something. The other day she came in the house, and she's got it in her head, see, that she's going to grow all these flowers for the camp meeting. So she come up and got all them baskets, and she's got all them baskets planted now with all the flowers to come out, see. She's out there just doing that, just like, you ever seen a dog digging in the dirt, you know? She just going. And she come in and started talking about all what she's doing, and I was, yeah. And after she left, I thought, Reggie, wait, you need to wake up. She was excited about what she's doing, and she really wants you to come out and see it. Yeah. And you just went, oh, yeah, okay. Yeah, light bulb kind of came on. Yeah. Holy Spirit had to go. Your wife's excited about that, Reggie. She'd like for you to come out and see it. How many's ever done stuff and you want your mom and dad to come see it? You know, you want your wife to see it?
Yeah.
And she may say, well, I don't care about it, but that's the way I thought about it. But anyway, I went out there, and man, she's just showing me all that she had in her greenhouse, and this is here, and she's got onions started, and she's got sunflower seeds over here, and she's just got all this stuff going, and she's just happy as a lark. But I want to tell you something. She knows how to plant a garden, and she can take that garden from planting a seed to the plate of your house. Girls, I'm telling you something. It's worth something to be able to feed your family good, wholesome, homegrown food. Amen. Say amen right there. Bringeth her food before. Verse number 15, she riseth up at 10 o'clock. She riseth also while it is yet night. I learned the great art when we first had our first child of turning over and acting like I didn't hear him when he cried. Now that takes skill and ability to act like you just didn't hear it. I think the kids were hoping daddy wouldn't come anyway. I tell you what, I never could figure out how to put on diapers. I mean, I put diapers on a kid and they thought they'd come in from Mars or somewhere. It looked like that, you know. Anyway, no, she's always gotten up early, getting breakfast ready, getting things ready to roll, and getting around and getting things done. While it's yet night, giveth meat to her household and a portion to the maidens. I've seen her cook for other people. I'll bet you 1,000 times in this 42 years that I took people home. I said, honey, folks is coming over after church. She never said, what do you do that for? Never has said that. Okay. I get home. She's a moving, fixing us enough to stuff to feed. How many is there?
Yeah.
I don't know. Looks like quite a few. You know. But she prepares meat for her household. You say, well, did I come to church and not hear you brag on your wife? Yeah.
Amen.
That's right.
Amen.
Brag on your wife. She considered the field and buyeth it. I love this verse. I love it. I don't know how this happened, but now the little secret about Reg Kelly is he loves land. I was made out of dirt. I like it. And over the years, you know, just over, how many years we've been married? Carried 47, be 47 this June, 47 years. You know, when we got our first place paid for, well, the next thing I was doing, Jerry, I was looking for another. And something would come up, and I'd always be afraid that Karen wouldn't want to do it. I don't know what God did with her, but I would take her, you know, and I'd try to, talk her, boy, how to do this. Yeah, you know, this is. And you know what? It's amazing to me. I was shocked. Back in those days, she'd say, I think we ought to buy it. I thought I was going to have to talk her into it. Look at here. She considereth a field and buyeth it.
Yes.
Now, I want to tell you a little something. Don't get in your head that girls are supposed to sit around as some kind of little dummies.
Yeah.
If there's anything this teaches you, that women are to be wise, skillful, yes, multi-talented, very discerning, wise. And I'm going to tell you something. This is the honest truth. Our layup and savings for our retirement, which should be in another, I expect to retire in about another 20 years. Sister Debbie, when you going to retire? Another 20 years? But you know what? Every time I've taken her to look at a place, and I say, what do you think? She says, I just kind of like it. Why don't we buy it? And I'll be honest with you, that has accumulated us, a nest egg, because land values have kept going up. And it's held, we've, best thing we could have done.
Amen.
Best thing we could have done. It's held up with inflation, actually more than inflation. It's been a wise thing. And I look at that verse and I said, Lord, thank you for giving me a wife who said, well, how are we going to pay for that? I've never known how I was going to pay for nothing. You just do it. But she always was behind me. And I tell you, that's encouraging. How many of you men know it's nice to have your wife on?
Amen.
I mean, you go look at that brand new truck and. But that's the honest truth. I'm going to say that to her. I'm honoring her tonight. I thank the Lord that I had a wife that appreciated land.
Amen.
And enjoyed it and wanted to do, see what we could do with it and so forth like that. Now, I don't like houses. I don't want to buy your house. Don't want nothing to do with your house. It needs repairs. Probably got mold in it. Probably got termites in it. It's taxed and it's got to be insured. I don't want anything. Probably got broken water lines. I don't want your stinking house. But give me a piece of land.
Amen.
I can look at a piece of land and I can see what I can do with that. And I just love it. I'm excited. I'm wanting to get over my back problem because I've got a whole two or three projects I'm wanting to do. And I just love it. I love making land look good and fixing it up and stuff. And I want to tell you, honey, I want to thank you for considering the field and saying, yeah, let's buy it. And with the fruit of her hands, she planteth a vineyard. I talked about that a while ago. She girdeth her loins with strength. Now, I want to tell you, she's little, but oh, my goodness. Is she? You'll all laugh at this. We got married, and we moved into the little old house down the hollow where Van lives. Well, how many knows, guys, what you're supposed to do with your wife when you first come into your newly married?
Care.
Now, Karen, she's looking at me really careful right now. She's, this is all true. She's going. I've never been a super strong guy. I've got a lot of endurance, but I've never been super strong. But I'm honest the truth with you. I started to do this, you know, put my arm like that and go up like that, and I did, and I was like, I finally made it through the door with my wife. I mean, she's little, but she's solid. She ain't no skin flint. I mean, she's, I'm serious. I wasn't near as strong as I thought I would, because I just thought she was a little old half pint. And then I found out.
Yeah.
First time she hit me, I mean, I figured it out, man. That was... Lord, forgive me. Forgive me. She... Strength your arms. I got to go. Verse number 18, she perceiveth that her merchandise is good. You know, ladies, I want to commend some of the ladies here at church. Some of you make things. Some of you raise puppies. How many raises puppies? And I don't even know how many people raises puppies in this church. I'm glad for you. I hope you do great at it. I hope whatever you're making and selling does wonderful. I'm serious with you. You know, just make sure it's, you know, agreeable to the Lord and not outside the bounds. But it tickles me to see people making things. Lydia, can I embarrass you? Not really. I already have, haven't I? Lydia's like Karen. She does not want anybody to say anything about her. But Lydia made cards during Christmas, handmade Christmas cards. They were the prettiest things, beautiful things. And I was able to get some off of her, you know, and I just really got tickled. I mean, I was just glad to see a young lady in this church doing something in crafts and selling and this kind of thing right here. You never know where something will lead to, by the way, down the road of life. Well, she perceiveth her merchandise is good. Her candle goeth not out by night. She's willing to work late. Stay up late. She layeth her hands to the spindle. I know you've all heard my story about the, what do you call them things? They're not a sewing machine. No. Serger. Y'all heard the serger story, ain't you? Oh, my. That was the greatest test of faith I nearly ever had. Girls come up and said, Daddy, we know what Mama wants for Christmas. It's Christmas time. I said, you do? That'd be great, because I hate shop. I just want to go in and get it and leave. And they said, she wants a serger. I said, well, what's a serger? It said it's something like a sewing machine. I thought, boy, I know Karen loves to sew. I'll go buy her a sewing machine for Christmas. That'll be great. Where do you get them at? And Nate told me some place in Springfield. I forget what it was. What was the name of that place, honey? You remember what it was? Joann's in Springfield. They just went broke, by the way. Anyway. So I go to Springfield, buy that serger. I just walk in the door, you know, and a lady comes up and said, can I help you, sir? I said, yeah, I need to buy my wife a serger for Christmas. Well, come back here. We've got four, five, six of them, and we'll show them to you. I said, well, I don't want to look at a bunch of them. Just show me your best one, and I'm going to buy your best one.
Yeah.
And she says, well, it's right down here. And I see this big old tag, $1,600 and some dollars.
Yeah.
Now, this is back in probably the 80s or 90s.
You got set up.
I mean, I about had a heart attack, and I was glad I was close to the hospital. I said, what on earth makes that worth $1,600? Well, it's a serger. I said, what's it do? He said, well, it just sews a whole bunch of stuff at one time, makes all this beautiful stuff. And I just said to myself, I ain't spending that kind of money on nobody for Christmas. I ain't doing it. And I walked in there all cocky, you know, like, show me your best serger. I'll buy it. Boy, I mean, I was like crawling out of there. And this honest truth, I got to the door of that store, opened it up, and it's like God Almighty said, I'm going to tell you something right now.
Yep.
That woman has conceived and born your children.
Yep.
She's been cut open every time one has been born.
Mm-hmm.
She's cooked you food night and day for all these years. She's loved you through thick and thin and stood by you.
Yep.
And you'd spend $25,000 or $30,000 for a John Deere tractor and not blink an eye and buy a new rake and tell her you had to have it.
Yep.
And you won't buy her a $1,600 shaver. What do you call them? Serger? I am not joking. If you're watching online and don't like this, you can shut it off. Okay? And honest to goodness, I was like afraid God would strike me with lightning.
Yeah.
Yeah. Uh-huh.
You get back in there and buy your wife a search. Since I go back in there like a puppy, you know. Yeah, I'll take it, you know, wrap it up, you know. But then I got outside. Boy, I'll tell you what, man, I'm kind of some kind of husband, ain't I? Ain't that like us guys? You know, we didn't really want to, but after we had to, we're going to brag about what we did. Anyway, Karen has sewn and sewn and sewn, and I watched her make clothes for all of our children after they were born. And it's a blessing, and I tell you, I really appreciate it. Verse number 20, she stretches out her hand to the poor, reaches forth her hands to the needy. And I'm not going to go into details about that, but I've seen her do that, stretch out her hand to the poor. I've seen her reach forth her hands to the needy. And in fact, this afternoon and every week, she goes down and sees Mrs. DeGase. And she's 10 times the Christian I ever be. She's always thinking about elderly people, always thinking about people that's having a hard time. Verse number 21, she's not afraid of the snow for her household because her husband got plenty of wood cut. No, she's not afraid of the snow for her household, for her household are clothed with scarlet. I'm going to tell you something. She's kept a clean house. The only problem she has, she's a little short. She can't see up on top of the refrigerator real good, but I can. Y'all got that, did you? You know, if you can't see it, you can't see it. Amen. I'm just being aggravating. Boy, I feel sorry for her. She is, I mean, she's over there. I mean, she's having a hard time with this, right? I mean, just like, the whole message is about my wife. And she maketh herself, verse 22, coverings with tapestry or clothing of silk and purple. Her husband is known to Gates, and he sitteth among the elders of the land. And I'm going to say, honey, I appreciate tonight. Never one time in my entire life have you caused me to feel ashamed. And I appreciate it. She maketh fine linen, selleth it, and delivereth girdles unto the merchant. Strength and honor are her clothing, and she shall rejoice in time to come. She openeth her mouth with wisdom. And I would say if there's anything that every mother ought to be right here in her tongue is the law of kindness. I've never known her when she wasn't kind. Just being honest with you. And she looketh well to the ways of her household and eateth not the bread of idleness. Boy, I'll tell you what, I've never seen her sit down and watch a soap opera all the years we've been married. I've never seen her waste a day doing stupid, idiotic stuff that don't amount to a hill of beans. I'm just being honest with you. She looked well at the ways of her household, eateth not the bread of idleness. Her children rise up and call her blessed. And I don't believe I've got a child that wouldn't do that. Rise up and say, I've got blessed mama. Her husband also, and he praises her. So, honey, the Bible told me to praise you. If you don't like this message, you blame God. Many daughters have done virtuously, but thou excellest them all. Favor is deceitful. Beauty is vain. But a woman that feareth the Lord, she shall be praised. I hope you're looking at your wife tonight. If I could encourage you men to have a good biblical attitude toward your wife, it'd help this church. Because in all honesty, do you know what this whole passage is about? It's about the church. Amen. It is a picture of a God-blessed church. Amen. Favor's deceitful. Girls, I want you to listen to me. Beauty is vain. One of the things that grieves my heart as worth anything is to see the culture in America make a girl think that outward beauty is the whole substance and sum of her life. Right. And constantly not happy with herself because she can't meet up to the world standards of beauty. Right. And I'm going to tell you something, inward beauty, that's what's worth something. Yeah. And I know you want to be pretty, and maybe I don't think I really have understood how bad ladies like to be pretty. I don't think I really understood that. Because I see it and I watch it, and I watch especially young girls sometimes just go so overboard trying to be pretty in the world's perspective. But I want to encourage you young ladies to know something tonight. Be beautiful on the inside. Amen. I promise you, you'll never regret that. Amen. Don't you worry about being some I'm going to tell you, some of the most miserable people you've ever seen on the media are these beauty queens.
Amen.
And they're never pretty enough.
Right.
And by the way, once the world's done with them, they throw them away like a used Kleenex.
Right.
And girls, I want to encourage you. Don't worry about what you may think you look like on the outside. Be beautiful in Christ on the inside, and you'll be blessed.
Amen.
It'll help you. Because I'm going to be honest with you, after you've been married 30 years, ain't no man wants to live with a beautiful woman who's a Jezebel on the inside.
Right.
That beauty will get sick and old and tired pretty quick. But I've been thinking this week a lot how good God's been to me with my wife. But a woman that feareth the Lord, she should be praised. And then it says this, give her the fruit of her hands. So guys, here's my message to you. I want y'all to give your wife $1,000 and tell her to go shopping. Give her the fruit of her hands. Nobody's laughing about that one. You didn't hear the last part? Give your wife $1,000 cash and tell her, just honey, just go spend it how you want to. I didn't hear one single amen in the whole house. And you women had your chance, and you just said amen. And let her own works praise her in the gates. And so I want to say to the ladies of this church tonight, I appreciate you a lot. I appreciate your desire to please the Lord and not the world. And I want to encourage you and let you know that our church needs you, that we appreciate you and value virtuous women that are trying to live for the Lord Jesus Christ and trying to help this church be what God wants it to be. So I want to encourage you. And honey, I'm going to ask you to do something. I'm going to ask you to come right up here on that front seat, and I want the pianist to come, and I'm going to ask you ladies to go over there and just give her a hug and say, Karen, we love you in spite of Reggie. And Karen, I'm going to tell you now, I'm not preaching your funeral. If you die first, I'm going to go to it, but I ain't going to preach funeral. And I'm going to give you flowers now.
Amen.
I ain't going to say something after you're gone, if you're gone, but I'll probably die first anyway. She, you know, probably best, because I wouldn't know how to cook breakfast for myself. So, Karen, I want you to come right up here on the front seat. And I'm going to ask her children that are here first, if you'll come and rise and call your mama blessed. And several of them are not here tonight. I think there's one or two maybe. Ben, you may have to do that all by yourself, I reckon. But so ladies, if you just want to do that. And men, if you want to just take a little time and say, honey, I appreciate you much as Reggie does his wife too. So ladies, you're at freedom to go. Our service is over because of everything like that.